The reading this morning is from Luke chapter 2, verses 15 to 21. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived.
So, we're here in the final Sunday in this LICC series, Down to Earth. And I hope you've enjoyed the series so far. I hope that you found something inspiring, challenging, encouraging, thought-provoking in the messages that you've heard so far. We've heard from Alistair when he spoke on the unusual king, from Paul when he spoke on the unexpected rescue, and then last week John when he spoke about the shepherds and the unlikely invitation. And also I hope that you've been able to enjoy daily reflections that have come from LICC. But this morning, when we're thinking about the build-up to Christmas, it's often dominated by an extensive to-do list, or in some cases more than one extensive to-do list. I wonder how many of us here have more than one list running at the moment. And even as we approach Christmas Day, the list itself grows. And perhaps even this morning, something will pop into your head that you need to add to the list. And some of you might think, I want to write that down. The way that you do it is you pretend that I've said something wise. And what you do is you go, wrap Grandad's present. And people will think they're making notes on the sermon. How Christian's that? It's just like those people who get their phones out and pretend they're reading the Bible passage. We know who does it. But there's lots, isn't there? There's stuff to buy and wrap and send and cook and bake and deliver, and there's events to go to, people to visit. And bizarrely, we've all done it before, but we don't seem to learn from how it went last year. And it seems to become more frenetic. And think, well, why is that then? And then at the end of it all, we slump in a chair, exhausted, thankful that we've survived. Now, one of the events that some of us are lucky enough to attend, either as parents or grandparents, is, of course, a nativity play. Even though they can sometimes be a bit chaotic or bizarre, with the sort of characters and animals that find their way onto stage and join in Mary and Joseph. But it's part of the joy. That's all right. We'll go with that. Sadly, of course, nativity plays are slightly less common than they were. But thankfully, we do still see the nativity scene displayed quite a lot. It's in shops, in schools, and of course it's in churches. Here's a nativity scene that's from outside a church in Northumberland, where Helen and I visited a few weeks ago. This one, of course, is our nativity scene over in the hall. Oh, this is just a nice picture of a nativity scene, a classic nativity scene. But an interesting feature about nativity scenes, and indeed the final scene in a children's nativity play, apart from the one we saw earlier, is how the characters, having arrived, then stay there. Mary and Joseph, centre stage, shepherds, possibly with a few sheep, three wise men, and who knows who or what else might be there as well. But they stand around looking at the manger, at the baby Jesus. But that finale, with everyone there, everyone on stage if you like, that's not how the nativity ends, is it? In reality, of course, no one stays there. They all move on. And that's what I really want to draw out of the message this morning. I want us to reflect on the idea of moving on. After this nativity scene, all the characters move on. They all move on. But in moving on, their lives have been changed forever by their encounter with the baby Jesus. So I'd like to suggest, as a down-to-earth challenge for us all this morning, is to do the same as the characters in the nativity scene. Not to stay still, not to stay slumped in a chair exhausted, our to-do lists done, but to move on, our lives having been changed forever by our encounter with Jesus. In our reading that Glenna just brought us, did you notice how few words are devoted to the shepherds' actual encounter with Jesus? In the verses leading up to the text, which John spoke about last week, the shepherds have been terrified by the visiting angels. And it would have been perfectly understandable for them to stay right where they were, in the fields, with their sheep, as they tried to come to terms with what had just happened. And you could even imagine, in reality, there would have been at least one who was reluctant to go anywhere and do anything, preferring to stay in the place they knew and felt safe. And how often do we do that? How often do we stay where we know and feel safe, what we call the comfort zone? But what happened, of course, is the shepherds got over the fear and responded. And initially, it was about checking out what the angels had told them. Verse 15 says, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." The Message version says, "Let's get over to Bethlehem as fast as we can and see for ourselves what God has revealed to us." So they get going. In verse 16, "So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger." And there's a level of urgency there. They hurried. Or as the Message puts it, they left running. But then, having arrived, we don't then get much information about what happened when they found the baby Jesus. We don't know how long they stayed. We don't know what they did. We don't know what they said. Which is really quite remarkable for such a moment in history. It's as brief as saying, they came, they saw, and off they went. But actually, that's okay. Because the most important part of the story is what happens next. It's what happens when they move on. In verse 17, "When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child." In verse 20, "The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they'd been told." So they clearly didn't hang about with Mary, Joseph and Jesus. Typical blokes. Once they'd seen the baby, they got moving. They returned to their work. They began spreading the good news. They began telling others, glorifying and praising God. And in verse 18, "All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them." They returned to their work, but they're changed by their encounter. And so the question for us is, have we been changed by the birth of Jesus? Have we, or will we, return to our work, or front lines, as LICC call them, spreading the good news, telling others, glorifying and praising God? Because there's the challenge. This is not just a nice nativity story, a nice picture. It's a challenge. And that challenge is just from the shepherds. Then there's Mary. In a nativity scene, we always think of Mary as sitting there by the manger, either cradling the baby Jesus or just looking lovingly at the baby in the manger. It's a beautiful scene. It's a mother totally at one with a newborn child. It's exactly what you've got in that picture there. In the passage that Glenna read, it says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. But that contemplation, coupled with the way the nativity scene is portrayed, implies that Mary was static. But of course, this contemplation, this treasuring and pondering events in her heart, goes on far beyond the moments there in the nativity scene, far beyond the immediate time after the birth of Jesus. It must have gone on for the whole of her life. It can't not have, can it? So Mary's contemplation is not about being static. And we should see Mary in a different way, as this short video illustrates.
This statue of Mary in the grounds around Salisbury Cathedral is by the artist Dame Elizabeth Frink and is known as the Walking Madonna. Frink's opinion was that so many of the paintings and sculptures of Mary that we have her sitting or standing still or holding the baby Jesus motionless. There's nothing wrong with those depictions, but the artist's point here is that Mary is a working woman, an active mum. So Frink has Mary standing and striving, working and walking. And this helps us, I think, to picture Mary differently. Now, when this artwork was first placed in the grounds of Salisbury Cathedral, there was an important decision to make. Which way should Mary face? Should they have Mary walking into the cathedral to worship, or should they have her walking out to continue her life of worship? And I'm so glad they chose to position Mary as they have, walking out into the city with the good news that she's received. Also, as you can see, she's not on a plinth. She is literally down to earth in the sense of being on our level. As a result, people engage and respond to her in different ways. You can see how worn down her hand has got from people holding it. People are responding to somebody who has been touched by Jesus and then takes that message out into their everyday lives. The challenge is for each of us to do the same, to respond in our everyday lives as people who have met Jesus and reflect him in all we do.
You might not be surprised if I was to tell you I'm not a great one for art. I'm more about running about with the ball. But I think that the explanation of that sculpture is fascinating and actually really enlightening. It's a reminder that Mary is an active mum. She doesn't just sit while she treasures and ponders events. She's out there walking and working. She's out there with people. And that significance, as the presenter said, how Mary is depicted as walking out into the city so that she can share the good news of Jesus. And I don't think we always think of Mary as sharing the good news of Jesus. And finally, that fact that she's not on a pedestal, she's literally down to earth at eye level, where she can engage with people. I thought it was lovely to see how people want to touch a hand as they walk by, and I wonder what effect touching Mary's hand actually has as they walk out into the city as well. And the message, I think, that the video ends with is important for us all. It's, you know, just as Mary walked around, she worked, she met and spoke to all sorts of people, she shared the good news. That again, I would suggest, is the challenge for all of us. Again, not to be static, slumped, exhausted in our chairs after the busyness of Christmas, but to be out there in all we do, sharing the love of Jesus wherever we are and whoever we're with. And it's not just the shepherds and Mary who move on, of course. By verse 21, the story of Jesus has moved on beyond the nativity scene. On the eighth day, he was named Jesus. And his down-to-earth journey begins. And Jesus, of course, never stopped moving on. Like Mary, he walked, he worked, he mingled, he talked, he was out there. As beautiful as that nativity scene is, no one stays there. And nor should we stay where we are, here in church, in the comfort. If everybody in the nativity scene leaves, if they don't stay by the manger, if they then live down-to-earth lives in the reality of that encounter with Jesus, then so should we. And Advent is the opportunity for us to respond to what happened all those years ago, to respond. So in the same way the shepherds investigated the angel's news, perhaps we need to do some investigation of our own, to deepen our own knowledge and understanding of the life and teaching of Jesus. Just as the shepherds celebrated the birth of Jesus, so should we. And not just with a roast turkey lunch and presents to each other, but in some more meaningful, deep way that truly honours Jesus. And just as the shepherds glorified and praised God, just as they spread the word, so should we. On our front lines, wherever we are and will be, in the coming days and weeks. And let's be like Mary, walking, working, mingling, talking. Let's be out there. Isn't that what being a disciple of Jesus actually means? And this Christmas, and of course when people now say Christmas, they don't mean Christmas Day, they mean some indeterminate period of time that starts sometime before Christmas Day and ends sometime after that. But in this period, think of all the front lines we're going to be on. Think of all the non-Christians that we are going to meet. Family, friends. What an opportunity to chat about the true meaning of Christmas. To talk about our faith in Jesus. Just as Lucy did on Friday to 50 little children. Amidst all the busyness and challenges of everything that we do, behave as Jesus would have behaved, to be the most Christ-like that we can be. And anybody who stands at the front accepts the reality of life, that when people who've heard somebody speak, no matter how fascinating and brilliant they thought it was, there is a time lag such that when they walk out of those doors, they will forget what was said. Possibly even forget who spoke. Let's really, really, really try to hang on to this idea of spreading the good news of Jesus, at least until the end of our Carols by Candlelight service. And let's give a crackingly good welcome. When people come to the service on Christmas Eve, let them actually see Jesus in all of us. Not be wowed by the singing, but be wowed by the people. Because that's what we're supposed to do. If they don't see Jesus in us, how on earth are they possibly going to think that following Jesus is a good idea? So, as we come to the end of this down-to-earth series, I think it's probably worth ending by reflecting on what it was all about. What were the messages that have been shared with us over these few weeks? So during these four Sundays, we've celebrated the unchanging truths about God who sent his son down to earth. Sent his son down to earth to be down to earth in his mission and the way he interacted with people. And I suggest the unchanging truths for Christmas and in fact beyond that could be summarized as this. First of all, that God kept and keeps his promises, but he does things his way and not in the way that we might expect, as the whole Christmas story tells us. The truth that the unusual king came down to earth for all of us and called us to be down to earth, relatable, humble. That the rescue that we all desperately needed was achieved when Jesus came down to earth. That we are all invited to be part of God's story. No matter how unworthy we think we might be, just as the shepherds thought they were unworthy. God wants us, and God wants us to accept the invitation and act in a way that invites others to worship him. And finally, God doesn't want us to stay still. He wants us to be out there just like the shepherds, just like Mary, and just as Jesus was. Because only if we're out there can we possibly make a difference that God wants us to make. So our hope and prayer is that we'll all carry those unchanging truths about Christmas into our week, into our year ahead, to the places we're called to live and work and play, and that fundamentally we will all be changed for the better by our encounter with Jesus. Amen.